Our second scripture for today is from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 28. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now, He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of His body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. And these are the words of God for us, the people of God. Amen. Thanks be to God. Amen. So, I'm expecting an answer yes to this. Please go ahead and vocalize it. I'm a Gaithers fan. Are you familiar with the Gaithers song, "It Is Finished"? Is that not one of the most amazing pieces of music that is out there in our world at this point in time that people listen to? I love that piece of music. And one of the reasons I love it, well, it's a beautiful song, beautiful musically, but one of the reasons I love it is because there are several things in it. First of all, there is an absolutely amazing word picture of the crucifixion. So what does it tell us about the crucifixion? You know, we don't listen to the words we sing all the time. I'm going to give you the words. It says that there is a line. A line that has been drawn through the ages, from the very beginning of time to the present moment. A line, and on that line there's a cross. And that cross stands there like a banner or a coat of arms, that this line is not to be crossed between the forces of darkness and the forces of light. And musically, I love this part of this particular song, because when it talks about the forces of darkness, all the demons and devils of hell, it uses a minor key. And the minor key usually expresses, you know, anger or pain or things that don't feel good. And then when it comes to describing the forces of light, the angels, it goes to a major key. And a major key is what resolves it. As the lyrics talk about the forces of heaven that are on this other side of this line that's been drawn through the ages that goes to the cross. And then as it does that again musically, there are rhythms and volume in, aspects of this piece of music that bring us to a clashing battle between the forces of darkness and the forces of light. And we can feel it in the way the music goes and in the volume with which it is sung when it's sung. And then from the cross, the words of Jesus flow. It is finished. It is finished. Wonderful picture of the crucifixion. Well, something else falls out in Jesus' words from the cross. And I want to bring just a moment's worth of attention. I'm going to come back to it is finished. Jesus says something very profound and meaningful that we may not really give all the meaning to it that we can if we reflect it into this song. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus' death on the cross redeems humankind. That's why we sing about victory in Jesus and the flow of blood and all of those kinds of things that we sing about is because of that. The crucifixion redeemed humankind. So imagine with me just a moment that Jesus is on the cross and there is a moment, just a moment, as time is measured, just a moment at the point which every sin that has ever been committed is forgiven. And the world is holy for just a moment. It doesn't last long because do we stop sinning? No, we don't. God's given us ways to deal with that, but we still have that sin bug inside of us. But there was a thief on the cross next to Jesus who just believed that he was not a sinful man, that he was a pure and clean man that was hanging on the cross where he was going to die, who asks Jesus in faith to remember him when he gets to his kingdom. And what does Jesus say? Today you will be with me in paradise. Forgiven. Forgiven. There were Roman soldiers who were actively engaged in the vilest possible sin that you can ever imagine. They took the pure Lamb of God, and they nailed his body to a cross. Does it get worse than that? Not in my heart. And one of those centurions said about Jesus, "Surely this man was the Son of God." He was forgiven, redeemed, forgiven from the cross. Forgive them. They know not what they do about his own people who certainly should have known. Because Jesus and the crucifixion are all the way through Scripture. They don't just start with the Gospels. God promised that he would be a sacrifice if his promises were not fulfilled. And a fallen Judah and a fallen Israel and the fallenness of all of the nations that the oracle against the nations in Amos talks about were a failure of God's promises. And God became the sacrifice. God the Son. The fullness of God. Paul says the fullness of God. God was pleased for his fullness to be in the man, Jesus. Why the man, Jesus? Well, because a man can die. And God cannot. That's what the crucifixion means. And the forgiveness that Jesus gave from the cross is extremely important, and it does not lose its importance. We'll come back to that. The rest of this wonderful, wonderful piece of music, "It Is Finished," is very human, and I relate to it. I can see the truth of these words. In my heart, there were battles still raging, battles of my own making. Both thoughts are in that part of this piece of music. I didn't know that the war had been won. Didn't know or understand that Jesus said from the cross, "It is finished." I didn't know. And then I heard. The scriptures tell us, how is a man to know unless he has been told? He has to be told. And then once he's told, he can believe. He has to hear the scripture. And then the person giving the testimony in this piece of music says, "Then I heard about the King of," and I forget exactly the way that word goes. I don't have it written down here with me. "The King of the universe, as we would know it, had won all the battles for me, and victory was mine for the asking. And now, praise the Lord, I am free." Free. Amen? It's a wonderful, wonderful, and powerful piece of music. Well, I wanted to come around to this idea of forgiveness, because forgiveness is very important, and I think we under-celebrate it. Not that we under-celebrate the fact that we are set free by the forgiveness of God, our God, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We do know that, and we do understand that, and we believe that, hopefully. Believe that enough to stake our lives on it, to give into that truth so that we are changed by the Father into the people that God desires for us to be. Has nothing to do with something I do. It has everything to do with being willing for God to change me. And change is hard. But forgiveness is extremely important. And I think I'm going to skip lecturing on this because I don't think it really gets the point across for me to lecture it. I'm just going to tell you the way it is in our world today. And maybe that will describe for us the importance of forgiveness. You see, right now in our country at least, what we are seeing is one or more people who've been hurt. And rather than going to God to be relieved of that, rather than giving forgiveness, which is the command of Jesus Christ, rather than doing those things, they nurse the anger that's inside of them. They expect apologies, and they expect repentance, which doesn't mean the same thing as what we would take it to mean. Repentance means turning away from evil ways. And they expect restitution. Now, in the Old Testament way of thinking, this would be pretty correct. But this isn't what Jesus taught about forgiveness. In Jesus Christ, forgiveness is not a once and done thing, except from the cross. Jesus said to Peter, "Forgive continually." When he said, "Forgive 7 times 7. Forgive 7 times 7, continually. And that's what Jesus does. Jesus' forgiveness is an ongoing forgiveness that is ongoing through the body of Christ, with Jesus as the head of the body of Christ. As Jesus is our advocate in heaven with the Father, This is what forgiveness is. You know, just saying the words, "I forgive you," doesn't complete the work. Just saying the words, "Forgive me," or "I will make it up to you," does not complete the work. Because the work that God intends is that the relationship will be healed. We call that reconciliation. Paul talks about God reconciling us to himself through Jesus Christ. We come into restored relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son when we accept Jesus Christ and choose to live by faith. There's restoration. So we might even think of it as a return to the Garden of Eden. That was the original. That relationship, to be like it was with Adam and Eve, between them and God. God would take their hand, talk to them, come looking for them when he hadn't seen them for a while. Relationship. That's true also with us people. Now, my grandmother, and I think I've probably talked about her before, my grandmother was a queen of Proverbs, and I don't know for sure where she got all of them, but the one that I'm thinking about at the moment probably came as part of a sermon. You know how some sermons have little mottos or catchphrases that will be given, and that will be something that people will remember about that sermon. So I'm figuring my grandma heard this in a sermon because it became for her a proverb. And the proverb is, forgive and forget. And that was her instruction to me as a child, and I could not have anything but a grinding response to that. Why? Because I know what forgiveness is, but how do you forget something that has happened to you that is in your memory? Not only that, having tried it out, having, you know, tried to return to the relationship as though nothing had happened, usually just resulted in more and more pain and suffering. How do you trust someone who is a source of pain and suffering to you? How do you do that? Well, I know a bit more about that now than I did then. Praise the Lord, because he kept teaching me through the things that my grandmother said that kind of grinded at me. Sometimes it's good to be ground, I guess. Because this isn't an instantaneous thing. God works in the midst of it. Now, I can forgive someone, but I also know that the words that I might speak to someone that are words of forgiveness, they don't go very far. They're like that person who hurt you as a child and says, "I'll make it up to you." Does it really work? I certainly didn't find it to take away the hurt. So I can give the forgiveness. I can give the forgiveness, but the forgiveness that we give has to contain something else. It has to contain a sincere willingness that God will bring about the reconciliation of our relationship. Now, there are times when that is not what I want, and I have to go to God and ask for forgiveness myself for that. But that is the depth of forgiveness that we have to give. It may take a while. God will work in that. It may never actually happen in this life that we live. But that is where our forgiveness of those things that have offended us begins. One more thing to say about forgiveness. Not forgiving is very sinful. So back to our world, situation right now. What happens when people are just being angry? Hanging on to what someone has done wrong is constantly destructive. Forgiveness is healing. But the anger of holding on to a hurt is destructive. And it becomes so strong that there is no piercing it. Not only that, we have a tendency as human beings to defend ourselves. And when that anger becomes strong enough that we are feeling threatened with that anger, we respond in self-defense, and the trustworthiness that might be proved out of human strength is destroyed. It's not there anymore. How do we pierce the darkness? And there is only one way, isn't there? The beginning of John says, "In the beginning was the Lord. The Lord was with God. The Word was God." Calls Him the Word. And talks about the light coming into the world and people preferring the darkness. But the light was not overcome by the darkness. Amen? I'm paraphrasing, but is that close? Is that close? Okay. All we can do is to be the light to the best extent that we can. And to pray that the Lord will pierce that darkness that is in our world right now. Pierce it with the light. So that the light will have a chance to grow. It's the only solution, the best hope that we have for our world in this country right now. Not a human being. Not the government. Not the neighbor who stands by our side while we are angry. But prayer. For God to see to the piercing of the darkness of non-forgiveness. It is a sin. So that the light can shine through. So we had Amos today. And Amos that was actually in the bulletin wasn't quite what we got. Because what we got is in Amos. And maybe it actually works better in some ways. It is a diatribe. We often call this an oracle against the nations. And Amos isn't the only one to do that. Where he speaks words of truth to multiple nations before coming to the nation that he is also going to speak to. Which was unusual for Amos. I'll try to wrap this up, okay? It was unusual for Amos because Amos was from Judah. And he had been sent by God to Israel. So we have the split kingdom, Judah, which was small, and Israel, which was everything else. Jerusalem was in Judah, and the northern kingdom had its own temple, its own place of worship, its own priests, and its own kings. And that's where Amos was sent. And Amos gave a message in which he described the things that people might be very, very angry about, things like cheating on the amount that would be given for a payment, a scale that was not honest. He finishes this one phrase when he says that even the sweepings are sold with the wheat. The way the Hebrews had slaves was sometimes from among their own people, not people that they had conquered. But some for poverty reasons or other reasons, would give themselves into slavery for a period of time. And people were giving themselves into slavery for a little bit of cash. Or a shoe. The needy, the impoverished, were being caused to become slaves. This was horrible, horrible behavior on the part of Israel that Amos was addressing. And God had had enough. So we need to remember also in remembering Thanksgiving that God says, "Vengeance is mine." And that we are not to judge, that the judgment will be in God's good time. And it was in Amos' time. Judgment against Israel was good in Amos' time. And it was coming by way of Assyria. And the prophecy that about what would happen said that Israel, faith would be silenced. And the people would starve not for food, but for faith. That's how bad it would be. And forgiveness is the way through that, because God will accomplish God's purpose. God will accomplish God's vengeance, which will do far more than any human being's vengeance ever will do. God will accomplish His vengeance, and His judgment will be righteous, whereas ours might not, in which case we are sinning even more. And so we have the understanding that forgiveness is important. We have the understanding that what it accomplishes for God's purposes is an openness and willingness for reconciliation, for being reunited, even as humans were reunited with God by way of Jesus Christ through His suffering on the cross. That we can also be reunited with people we know, people we have been hurt by, and vice versa. And that we can work toward, by way of the Great Commission, work toward teaching people to think past just the words, just an idea of making it up to you, to understand that God's purpose is bigger than that. God's purpose is for us to become united in relationship again, not only as brothers and sisters, as people we know, but also as part of the body of Christ, to become united into the body of Christ, into God, which is how that all flows. That's what we are called to. Amen. God bless you.